realize, the Bible tells us, Jesus said it even, we need to work while it is still day, amen, because the night cometh when no man shall work, amen. Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to the book of Acts. You know, it's just fitting that we preach out of the book of Acts on Pentecost Sunday. We've taken a little break from our series on love, but we'll be picking that up probably next week, unless the Lord has something different for us. But I want to preach to you today on such as I have. Can you say that with me? Such as I have. How many realize that if you don't have anything, you can't give anything? Amen. Hallelujah. If Peter and John had not have had something to give the lame man, they'd have just walked on by him. How many realize that? But it's such as I have. Amen. If you turn with me to verse chapter 3, verse 6, I wanted us to look at that. And this is what Peter said to the lame man at the gate beautiful. He says this. He says, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I unto thee. Amen. Would you bow your head with us and let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I'm so grateful to stand behind this pulpit today. Father, Lord, to bring forth this message, O Lord. Father, you have stirred my heart, Lord, like, Father, such a deep stirring, O God. Father, like I haven't felt in some time as I was preparing this message, O Lord. And Father, I pray today that your Holy Spirit, Lord, would empower me, O God, Lord, to bring forth this words, O Lord. Let it not be me, O God, that is speaking, but let it be the Holy Spirit that speaks, Lord, through me to this congregation. And I pray, God, today that you would give us hearing ears today. I pray, God, that we would put aside everything, Lord, Father, that we put aside, Father, our thoughts, and we put aside, Father, Lord, about what we're going to do this afternoon or what we got planned for this week. But I pray, oh God, that our attention would be upon you and what the Spirit of the Lord would say to us today. And I pray, oh God, that you would give us open hearts, oh Lord, that we might receive the engrafted word of the Holy Spirit. And Father, that we, Father, might, Lord, become, Lord, Father, what you have called us to become. And we'll give you praise and we'll give you glory and we'll give you honor. In the wonderful, powerful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen and amen. Hallelujah. Just after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, Jesus appeared to his disciples. And we read in Mark chapter 15, verse 6, that there he gave them a proclamation. And that proclamation was to go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. How many realize we know that as the Great Commission? It's to proclaim that God's people are to go forth, to leave this place and to go into the world and begin to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. But not only did he give them a great proclamation, he also, gave them a commandment and also a promise. A commandment. The commandment and the promise is found in Acts chapter 1 verse 4. The commandment was, do not depart from Jerusalem. That wasn't a mere suggestion. He says, do not depart from Jerusalem. That was the commandment. He told the disciples, don't you leave. It is imperative. It's part of God's plan that you do not leave Jerusalem until you have received the promise. The promise. What was that promise? That they would be baptized in the power of the Holy Spirit. Can you say a good amen? In verse 8, chapter 1, verse 8, he says, and ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and to all Judea and in Samaria and into the uttermost parts of the world. If you'll remember, Jesus told them that, and he was emphatic about that. Do not leave, he says, because you're going to need the power of the Holy Ghost in your life to be witnesses unto me. We also read in Acts chapter 2 that's exactly what they did. They waited in Jerusalem. They really didn't know what they were waiting for. How many realize that? They didn't know what the Holy Spirit was. They had never experienced it. We have so much on them today because we understand what the Holy Spirit is. But back then, they did not know. But let me read it to you here in chapter 2. It says, and when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all together in one accord and in one place. Hallelujah. Can I tell you something? That's a very important passage of Scripture right there. For you and I to get in one accord, amen? To have one mindset, amen? To say, God, I want your power to flow through me. Hallelujah. And he says, and as they were there on that day of Pentecost, that they were all together, that suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting, and there appeared upon them cloven tongues as of fire, and it set upon each of them, and they began, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Can you say amen? You know, they didn't know that there was going to be a sound like wind. You know, some people think that that wind just swept through that place. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says there was a sound like wind. Amen? Have any of you ever heard of a hurricane on its way or something like that, a tornado that's come through? You hear that? You could hear. People say it sounds like a freight train coming. I don't know if that's what they experienced in that upper room, but what they heard was they heard the sound of a mighty rushing wind. It came from heaven, the Bible tells us. They didn't know that there was going to be cloven tongues of fire and come down and rest upon each one of those. Can you imagine the reaction that you and I would have today if we were together in a worship service and we were worshiping and praising God and seeking God, and all of a sudden we heard a sound like a freight train begin to blow through this place, and when we looked up we saw fire resting upon both all of our heads. Amen. Can you imagine the reaction that we would have today? I'm sure it was the same reaction that they had. They didn't know that they were going to have cloven and tongues of fire. And then all of a sudden they began to speak in a language that they had not learned. And they were worshiping and praising God. They didn't understand this experience. They didn't know what was happening to them. But they knew something was special and that something had taken place. They waited for 10 days seeking God, praying and seeing God. Can I tell you something? Sometimes when I ask people to come down to receive the Holy Spirit, if they don't get it in 10 seconds, they leave. Amen? The Bible says that these people were so hungry for God. God said, listen, don't you leave this place until you're endued with power from on high, until you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The first day they went, they didn't know what they were looking for. They prayed, they saw it, they sang songs, they got together, they were all in one accord, and nothing is taking place. And they stuck it out. How many realize that? Day 2, day 3, the same thing. Day 4, the same thing. Day 5, day 6, day 7, day 8, day 9. And then on that 10th day, hallelujah, God fell upon them in that little upper room, and the power of the Holy Spirit swept through that place, hallelujah. And the power of the Holy Spirit baptized them, and they begin to worship God in tongues, and they begin to worship Him, hallelujah, like they had never worshiped Him before. Hallelujah. Oh, I want you to know this morning how I long this morning to hear the sound from heaven. As I was preparing this message, I had to stop right here, and I bowed my head, and you know what I said? I said, oh God, how I long to hear the sound from heaven once again. I want to hear that mighty move of the Holy Spirit rushing through here. Hallelujah. I said, God, I want to hear Your voice. I want to hear the, oh to God, hallelujah, oh to God, that He would fill His house with the power of the Holy Spirit. How I long for that fresh anointing of God's presence to come and to fall upon His house, that this house would be shaken, hallelujah. You see, that's God's desire for His people. God wants to move. He said, listen, it's imperative. Hallelujah. You don't leave Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. Hallelujah. And for 10 days they sought the presence of God. For 10 days they said, I'm staying here until I receive the promise of the Father. Can I tell you something? It's the promise of your Father this morning. Of your Heavenly Father. But can I tell you something? For too many, Pentecost is, that's all it is. For too many Pentecostals, all just a bunch of noise. Hear me? It's all a bunch of noise. It's just an experience. We say it's a name tag we wear. Hallelujah, I'm Church of God. I'm Pentecostal. You know what that means? That means absolutely nothing. Don't get me wrong. Thank God I'm Church of God. Thank God I'm a Pentecostal. But let me tell you, it's more than a name tag. It's more than just a bunch of noise. It's more than just something that we go by and say, oh, we're Pentecostal. No, it's something that's real, that God wants to move in our lives. Hallelujah. He wants to sweep through this place. He wants to fill you with the Holy Spirit, that when we walk out of this place, we'll have an impact upon this world around us. Hallelujah. Oh, I long for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Oh, not just some kind of experience, not just something that we wear around our neck. Oh, but I want the power of Jesus Christ. For too many, it has nothing to do with what Christ had in mind for himself and for his people. Jesus had just given the disciples an impossible task. He said, go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. How could they do that? They were not very remarkable people. They were very, very common people. Oh, he knew that they could not do it in their own power. That's why in John 16, verse 7, he says, I tell you the truth, it's expedient that I go away, because if I don't go away, the Comforter shall not come. Hallelujah. But when he comes, hallelujah, he'll not only be with you, but he will be in you. Can you say a good amen? He says, if I go away, I will send him unto you. Hallelujah. Jesus was telling them, the job that I have for you is greater than your ability to pull it off. Can I tell you something today? We have a job to do as children of God. Let me tell you something. When you join this group, amen. Or let me just rephrase that. When Jesus found you, amen. Hallelujah. When Jesus found you and he lifted you up out of the miry clay, and after he washed you clean by the blood of Jesus and set your feet on the rock of Jesus Christ, can I tell you something? He said, there's a job for you to do, and you don't have the power to pull it off unless I give you my Spirit. Hallelujah. Oh, he wanted to send us. He said, that's just too great that you can't pull it off by your own ability. You see, there was nothing remarkable about these men and women. That's why Jesus said, I'm going to send my Spirit into you, so it'll no longer be your ability, but it'll be my ability flowing through you. Hallelujah. Acts 1:8 says, you'll need power. Amen. You'll need the power of the Holy Ghost to come upon you. Power to sing and to shout and to dance about? No, absolutely not. But power to be witnesses of what has happened inside of my life. Amen. Power that enables you to share the good news. Power to set the free those that are bound by the power of sin and death. Power to demonstrate the love of God to a lost and dying world that nobody cares about. That's the power of the Holy Ghost. That's the reason for Pentecost. That's why God baptized his people, was to baptize them that they might see God in action in our lives. Hallelujah. That's what Pentecost is about. Being Pentecostal, let me say this, is not speaking in tongues. Now some of you think I'm preaching heresy right there. Amen. It's not speaking in tongues. Do Pentecostals speak in tongues? Oh yes, they do. Hallelujah. I'm glad I'm a tongue talker. Hallelujah. But somehow we think that that is the pinnacle, that that's all that it's all about. Oh, hallelujah, come down, let's get the Holy Ghost. You're going to speak in tongues, hallelujah. Oh, shana-ba-da-da-da-ba-da-da-ba-da. You got it, praise God. And then we leave this place and nothing dynamic happens into our lives. We haven't received the Holy Spirit, not the Holy Spirit that God wants to give us. Because when we receive the power of the Holy Spirit, when we are kissed by heaven's throne, hallelujah, let me tell you, we'll walk out of here with a boldness. We'll walk out of here with a power. We'll walk out of here, hallelujah, with a love in our heart for our fellow man and for those that are lost and dying in sin. That's the power of Pentecost. Hallelujah. Being Pentecostal is about allowing the presence of God to fill our very souls with His power. That's what makes the difference in this world. Look at Acts chapter 3. And let's see, that's a wonderful gift. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that enter the temple. who, seeing Peter and John about to go in the temple, ask an alms. And Peter fastened his eyes upon him with John, and he said, listen to this. I love this. He said, look on us. Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something from them. He was expecting to receive something from them. Hey, here's two guys going in the temple. You know, he's kind of got like getting hit up there at Walmart, at the red light. Amen. I know how we are. You know, we drive up there and we got some homeless guy out there. You know, we never make eye contact. You make eye contact, you know, because then they expect to get something. How many realize that? Amen. But that's how this man was. He looked up and saw Peter and John. And you know what? He said, he reached out and says, hey, can you spare a dime, brother? And I love it. I love it. He expected to, and Peter and James said, look on us. Look on us. And he thought for sure that they was going to lay a big fat $20 in his cup. Hallelujah. Praise his name. But can I tell you something? Something had happened to these men. They were not the same men. Just days before, they were hiding behind closed doors. They were hiding afraid for their own lives. But now they were walking with boldness to the temple. They had been baptized in the power of the Holy Spirit. They were on a mission. They were on their way to the temple to pray. Hallelujah. And they see this certain man, the Bible says. A certain man. Not just any man, but a certain man. Can I tell you something? We glance right over that thinking, oh, it's just somebody. No, no, no. It was a certain man that had laid at that temple year after year, day after day, asking alms with no hope, with no help. And what happened? It was that man, hallelujah, that God said, today is your day, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. They were on a mission. Oh, let me tell you something. This man, the Bible says, was a crippled man, lame from his mother's womb. This man had never taken not one step in his life. Everywhere he had ever gone, he had to have been taken. He had to have been carried. And they had placed him every day there at the temple. Can you imagine not being able to walk? Can you imagine having to be carried everywhere that you go? That's what this man was. And there he's sitting in the temple. And what is he doing? He's looking to these men. Oh, he says, oh, I'm going to receive something from these. They laid him at the temple beautifully and they asked him, hallelujah, for alms as they entered. And Peter sees him about to go. They see Peter and John about to go into the temple and he asked for alms. And John and Peter says, look on us. Look on us. Can I tell you something? He's expecting something. I got a question for you today. I got a question for everyone here this morning. When you came to the house of the Lord today, when you drove up in the parking lot today, did you come saying, I'm expecting to leave with something today? I'm expecting to leave with something today. I have an expectation that God is going to meet me here today. Hallelujah. Or did we just drive up and say, oh, it's just going to be another service. Let me get in and get out and hopefully I can beat the Baptist at lunch. Amen. Can I tell you something? You and I've got to come expecting. Amen. Every time I walk on this property, I say, oh God, I'm expecting you to do something. Hallelujah. If you don't do anything for anybody else, I want you to do something for me. Hallelujah. I've come expecting. I'm coming believing God. I need you to touch my life. I need you to set me free. I need you to set me at liberty today. Hallelujah. To do the work that you've called me to do. Hallelujah. He was expecting to receive something, and then what does he hear? He hears those words, and his heart began to fall like a rock. Amen. Silver and gold have I none. Anybody identify with James or Peter and John? Amen. Silver and gold have I none. But can I tell you something? It wasn't human resources that are going to meet this man's need. Hallelujah. I want you to know silver and gold can't fix everything. Can you hear me? It can't fix everything. Oh, money can't buy you peace. Money can't buy you joy. Money can't buy you one ounce of true happiness this morning. Amen? Oh, listen to me. Some of the wealthiest people in the world I know are the most miserable people. Money cannot fix a broken life that's been broken by sin. There's only one thing, and that's the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Peter and John were saying, listen, I don't have the financial resources to meet your needs. I don't have a $20 in my pocket. I don't have any change in my pocket. What I have is not going to meet your physical needs, but I've got something, my friend, that is better than money. It's better than silver. It's better than gold. Hallelujah. What I have is what I want to give to you today. And the Bible says, he reached down and said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he reached and grabbed him and pulled him up. Hallelujah. And the Bible says that he was healed and his ankle bones were strengthened and he jumped up. Hallelujah. Leaping, dancing, and praising God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's the power of Pentecost. That's the power of Pentecost. Let me tell you, human resources will not meet the needs of this world. What this world needs is men and women who are filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Someone who has shut themselves in with God until they've been endued with power from on high. Hallelujah. Can I tell you something? God is not looking for your natural resources or your talents. I stare at this world. I turned on the radio or the TV the other day and I hear about another school shooting, another one. And my heart breaks. And I'm thinking, what are we doing? What kind of world are we living in? Where some kid will get up in the morning and say, I think I'm going to go to school and kill my classmates. How many realize we live in a world that's gone mad? And can I tell you something? Money's not going to fix it. All the counseling in the world's not going to fix it. The only thing that's going to fix it, hallelujah, has the power of the Holy Spirit that came from heaven. Hallelujah. Oh, listen to me. Hallelujah. Oh, our resources cannot meet the world's needs. I stare at the lostness of this world. I see the hopelessness in men and women's eyes. I see the pain that they go through. And I see the hurt that sin has brought in their life. And I say, oh God, I know that you have put a trumpet in my mouth. Hallelujah. But I don't have the strength to put it to my lips. Oh God, I see that you've given me this wonderful message of Jesus Christ, but I don't have the power to preach it. I don't have the power to proclaim it. I look at this hope of eternity and glory, but when I talk to my neighbors, it just seems shallow and it seems hollow. Do you know what I'm talking about today? Can I tell you something? There has to be more than what we are experiencing here at Evangel Church of God. I don't care that we're a Pentecostal church. Can I tell you something? There's something more. It's more than just having the name on our door. Amen. Oh, listen, I know that we have a message. I know that we've been given a commission. I know that we have a call. I know that this church has a destiny. And we know that there is a hungry world out there waiting for it. Amen. But we need the power of Pentecost to proclaim it, to see it happen, to bring people in. Hallelujah. It has to be through the power of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. What we need is an outpouring of the Holy Ghost and fire one more time. Hallelujah. I know that we're born again here this morning. I know that we're saved. I know that you love God. I know that we're going to heaven when we die. Hallelujah. But the question that I must ask every one of us here today, have you been filled with a baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire? Have you been filled with that power from on high? Has the anointing power of the Holy Ghost been poured upon us? Is the effectiveness of God upon you? And does it flow through you? Not because of our professionalism. And how many realize we need to be as professional as we can be. Not because of our education. And there's no sin in having a good education. There's nothing wrong with having an education. How many know that God doesn't bless stupidity? Amen. But between the weight and the burden of our message and the call that God has put upon us to proclaim it, there has to be power. There has to be power. Have you been filled with the Holy Ghost? Hallelujah. Have you waited until His infinite wisdom and His infinite power, hallelujah, poured the oil and the water and the fire of the Holy Spirit upon you to where you go forth in power and might today? Have you been endued with power from on high? 50 days after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, 120 lowly, defeated, meek Christians assembled together on the outskirts of Jerusalem, and they watched Jesus ascend into the heavens to the right hand of the Father. But His last words to them was, "Go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature." And you know what they said? "Hey, wait, Jesus, don't go. We can't do that. We don't want that responsibility. Wait, wait," and boom, He's gone. How many know that's a great call? It's not just the call for those 120 that was there. That's a great call for every one of us that sits under the sound of my voice in this place today. But with it, there is a weight of responsibility. How many realize that? The weight of responsibility is upon you and I that call ourselves children of God. Jesus says, don't you do anything. Don't you move a muscle. Don't you leave this place until you have prayed, until you have been filled with the Holy Ghost and fire. And for 10 days, that 120, they prayed. They worshiped. They saw God. They didn't know. They didn't understand what they were going to receive. They didn't understand what was going to happen. None of them did. But they had a message, and they knew the message was in their hand. They knew the world was waiting, and they understood they didn't have power to be able to pull it off. Oh, that every one of us here this morning would come and fling ourselves at this altar. Amen. Every one of us would fall on our face and say, "Oh God, I can't do this. Fill me with Your Holy Spirit. Fill me with that power from on high." Oh, can I tell you something? The world is hanging in the balance. There are lives that are slipping into eternity as we come together and worship God this morning. And they're slipping out into a devil's hell, a devil's eternity. The world is hanging in the balance. I'm going to take it just a step further. Some of our children are hanging in the balance today. What they need, they don't need another sermon. Most of them have had enough sermons to last forever. How many know what I'm talking about? But what they need is a demonstration of the power of the real Holy Ghost. What they need is that power from on high to fall upon them and overtake them. Can you hear me? Hallelujah. To take a hold of them. You say, "Oh, I know, Pastor Rick, but God's not going to violate their will." Let me tell you, when the power of God begins to move in somebody's life, you don't have any will. Amen. You fall like a dish rag to the ground saying, "God, have mercy upon me." We should be tearing before God saying, "God, fill me up." Because that's what makes us Pentecostal. That's what makes you and I Pentecostal. Not the speaking in tongues, not the shouting. And I like to shout as much as anybody. Amen. I've been doing a little bit of it this morning. Amen. But we got to say, "Listen, God, I want the power of the Holy Spirit." You see, I believe in all the gifts. But that's not what this is about. Pentecost, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, is not about gifts. I mean, realize that. It's not about speaking in tongues. It is about the presence of God being in you and upon you for the purpose of proclaiming a clear and a message to a lost and dying world. Amen. And calling them into their divine destiny. That's what Pentecost is. Nothing can do that except the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And you may say, "Well, Pastor Rick, who am I? Who am I that I could do something like that?" Can I tell you something? You're a prime candidate for the infilling of the Holy Spirit. These men and women were not extraordinary men and women. until the Holy Spirit came upon them. And then they did things that were greatly beyond their ability to do. Hallelujah. When I think about John and I think about Peter, those were smelly old fishermen that were ignorant. The Bible even says that the people saw them. They said, these are not educated men, but they had been with Jesus. You're a candidate because God wants to fill you with His Spirit. Amen. There is nothing special about these men. They were full of flesh. They were full of pride. They were full of doubt and they were full of fear. Maybe just like some of you here this morning. Hallelujah. But if you will come and throw yourself at the altar and say, Lord, here am I. Lord, fill me. Can I tell you something? Something wonderful will begin to happen. Hallelujah. Oh, the power of the Holy Spirit will come upon you. Amen. And your life will be changed. You'll be endued with power from on high. If then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to His children, how much more shall your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? That ask Him. Would you stand with me? Praise you, Jesus. Would you bow your head with me this morning? Praise you, Jesus. Why would we go another day hungry when all we have to do is ask? Ask Him. Ask Him and He will feed you, hallelujah, from His table. Oh, Holy Spirit, you're welcome in this place, hallelujah. You're welcome here. I'm going to ask you this morning. No, I'm not going to ask you. I'm going to plead with you this morning, earnestly and tenderly this morning. If you long for the power of the Holy Spirit, if you feel the inadequacy and the ineffectiveness in your walk with God, then come and ask Him to fill you with the Holy Spirit.